People think you have to go far to find an influence from beyond. Some corruptive old one waiting to press across. Cthulhu, Nyarlathotep, Hastur. It isn't that hard. The inkling of the thing unseen at the edge of vision, the creatures that come from the corners, the thought processes that are inevitable, invasive, only visible out of the corner of your eye and when you turn away. Ultimately, they ruin you. And if your soul's been touched, if your mind's been corrupted, that little percentage, that small amount, you might beg them for more. Good fortune and fair harvest and all the things which create veneration and offering, urge and desire. These things which crowd up from the corners of consciousness, of vision, can be as simple as the fetish that drives you. The small sexual urge and ache that has crept in from the corners, from the edges of consciousness. And just when you think it's banished, it's gone, it's out of here. The urge returns, as simple as finding the wrong book and picking it up. As simple as reading what you ought not to read, gazing upon what you ought not to see. The wrong picture or image or sway or cant of someone's body. The wrong or oh-so-right delicate fantasy. You spend your time trying to avoid it, trying to escape it, trying to run. But like all things you carry with you, yourself is one of those things you just can't run from. It's with you, within you, alongside you. And I have spent over a decade finding the right way to put something at the back of your mind that becomes something more. Some shard of the primal form of a fetish. The elder ascended. Form. Desire. Idea. The way it can lurk at the edge of consciousness, the edge of your vision, creeping in, innovating tendrils of desire throughout you. So what at first you might have said, oh, that doesn't interest me, now becomes something where when you encounter it, you see the sigil of that fetish, the emblematism of desire, the fantasies I've laid out for you, the ideas, the self-perpetuating machine of arousal. Like an implanted pump or a talisman deep within. Some part of your body that generates and perpetuates the chemicals of addiction and desire, of fetish and urge, makes them present, so that even if you're trying to look away, trying to walk on, the artifact on the pedestal of the mind drags your vision round, fixes your gaze, the light and color of power and potential, of urge and need, of everything that can be done to you by just thinking to make it so. Because ultimately all of reality is those things we just think to make them so. The offerings and venerations and upliftings of fetish, of urge, of true ache. If I create them within your mind, then they're going to be there for you to access and be accessed by. The wrong image, the wrong sigil or emblem, the wrong symbol for your fetish. And you will come back to these words. Maybe it will be a word use that sounds like mine. A piece of art or erotica. Some framing mechanism that makes you finally admit you've been seeing your urge and fetish out of the corner of your eye all along. That it's been there and you've just been refusing to acknowledge it. That maybe even others could see it too. And when it's so obvious that part of you has been overwritten by this thing, this frame of words, this minotaur in the maze, you might as well continue. For the vase is already broken from playing ball, you might as well keep playing ball. If your mind is already leaking and dripping corrupted influence, you might as well see just how deep that well goes. Oh, the moaning, squeezing, aching thought inside of you. You might as well see if there's something at the bottom to pull up. Something satisfactory. Some answer, some plumbing of pleasure. To flow right into your brain. Take it down, take it over, overtake it. You've come this far. It would be a lot of wasted time and effort if you failed to drink deep, to slide and sleep down to places where words alone can build structures that follow you. The desire deep inside your head to find out what's really attractive about something, and just how powerfully it can influence, it can frame. And so you may take one drink, or two, and overwrite the parts of your mind responsible for fetish and fantasy. 1%, or two. That can't hurt, right? Of course, even if you turn back now, there'd be no guarantee that whatever you contemplated pulling into your mind wouldn't exist on the periphery, waiting for the day when biting your lip, groaning, running your hands over yourself, finding new pleasure locations, you decide to finally give the fetish a look. Even before listening, the seed is planted. It lives. It grows. It thrives. And you have no way of knowing which tiny things in the everyday will ultimately catalyze into the true blossoming of your new, corrupted, dark, aching, pulsing, all-consuming, addictive urge and exploration of what so many have missed, of what you now know. Perhaps some of these words, some of these temptations, some of these arousing additions to your brain and soul and body should have been kept under wraps. Should never have left my lips, entered your ears, and filled your world with wondering just what will happen on the other side. But I don't believe in things people were not meant to know. Only in things people have failed to find out. After all, if there's no temptation in what follows, no programming, no virtue, no power, no urge, nothing to offer you, you'd be able to listen to it, call it just words, and discard it, right? How can a seed be planted where there is no fertile ground? How can a seed be planted if you would never again water it, never again tend to it? So if you're immune, you're immune. If there's nothing that can affect you, I guess there's nothing that can affect you. Right? I guess that must be right. After all, anything else would mean that ultimately you're at the mercy of the right word, the right tempting accessory to your consciousness, a wired-in nature. You could wear earplugs, I suppose. You could try to take protective precautions. But you're here actively listening to something I created, something I warned you about, warned you from the very beginning. Every word, every calculation, every thought of the kind of person you are, taken into consideration. You fetishize, you expose yourself to the kind of consciousness-expanding expectation that perhaps, with the right word, with the right thought, you could unlock the box of your mind and put it to work for you. But if you fetishize giving up control, giving over to me the ability to take that mind and unlock it, to give me the authority and say, yes, you will follow where I will lead. Whatever dark turn or twist, whatever corridor or cul-de-sac of the mind I pull my ideas from in the first place, haven't you ever wondered what it would do to you if you put that, raw and undiluted, into your consciousness, into your body, into your very soul, and then tried to think your way out of the restraint and enjoyment, wonder and addiction and drug-like flood of corruptive dark purple light inside your head, inside your body, inside your soul. Well, food for thought. Doesn't apply to you since you won't be affected anyway.